the Holy Spirit.
There's water here for you, Eric. And speak up into the mic.
Thanks. Thanks, Brother Casper. Good morning, dear brethren. We failed to bring the Christian love and greetings of the class in Phoenix to you in our testimony yesterday. We also made a little mistake in looking at the calendar in reporting the convention. Convention starts on the 30th, which is also a Friday, but still the same day of the week. But we'd love to see you there. The subject of the Holy Spirit is quite a broad subject. There will be probably a lot more that could be said when I'm finished here. Many of you could probably discuss this in different facets for many hours. Actually, it takes us from the creation of God even throughout eternity. Because the Holy Spirit is that part of God, is the activating power and influence of God, that He directs in a very special way to bring to each of you His influence within your life and with our life. Actually, the meaning of Holy Spirit is separated into two words. And the word holy means sacred. Holy, blameless, religious. And of course, the Spirit is that one which also is referred to as ghost in most of our common translations. It comes from the word of Strong's of 4151, pneuma. And it means a current of air. How many of us just recently have notice perhaps the wind blowing a tree and how it sways back and forth? We actually don't see that wind, do we? But this is a current of the Spirit of God, one way in which is able to tell us the power of God and the influence of God, even though we cannot see Him. We can see that influence about us. As we read in Genesis, the first chapter and the second verse, it says, "Then the Spirit moved upon the waters." To begin with, this was the first scripture in the Old Testament that refers to the Spirit. This Spirit motivating and being used of God to, in the creative days, was used in a very special way. That very first word, Spirit, that was used in the New Testament was taken and brought to us in the birth of our Lord Jesus, where it said that the Holy Spirit would move to Mary and that she would receive a child and bear it, and it would be called the Son of God. This scripture was taken from Matthew 1 and 20. Let's just read that to refresh our memory of that account. It says, "But while he thought on the things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream," and this is Joseph, of course, "saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." That same word we referred to as spirit and ghost. Most of us leave out the ghost part because we don't know really what a ghost is, do we? I think it's a poor way of expressing the activating power of God, something that we cannot see, but the influence of that Spirit we do see, as we each of us have seen it within our lives. That great power transferred from heaven, that embryo into Mary's womb, and she became pregnant with that Son of God. This was that first embryo transplant in our scientific day. Recently, people have been knowledgeable of this and have been able to arrange transplants with animals. But this was long, long, many years ago with our Lord Jesus, before these people here ever thought of this embryo transplant. We don't normally tell jokes on the podium. We have a little religious joke we'd like to refer to. There were a couple of ladies that met in shopping center, and one lady said to the other, said, in recent months we've all been aware, of course, the surrogacy and the problem of the surrogate mother and so on. She said, "Did you hear what the Pope said? Said there's be no more surrogate mothers." The other lady said to this lady, says, "Aren't we glad that God decided to bring Jesus before he made this decree?" To think of the power of God. Yes, God in his own time brought forth his own Son. He needed not to ask any man, for it was his own doing, his own plan, the salvation for the human family from the beginning of the world. He was the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. This same Holy Spirit our Lord received. It was a power and influence within his life. As it says in John 3:34, he received this Holy Spirit without measure. You and I have not received that Spirit without measure. We have received the Spirit by measure. And as we are able to use that power and influence within our lives, we're able to utilize more Spirit. And as we pray for more of God's Holy Spirit, we're praying for more God-likeness, more of that power and influence within our lives. As almost every discourse that has been given here this day, that power and influence during this convention, I should have said, and not this day, but throughout this convention, each of the discourses, we're motivated by that power in that individual's life to prepare that discourse for you and I, that we can directly receive that blessing from God within our lives. That power, that Holy Spirit, was manifest quite early in the early church. We know that it was necessary for our Lord to die and to ascend upon high before that Spirit could come. But let us turn to Acts, the second chapter, and relate that first incident where those who were there to receive that Holy Spirit, what happened to them? Beginning with the fourth verse, it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, and as the Spirit gave them utterance." These who were there at the appointed time, appointed hour that God had arranged, were there. And they felt a very personal thing happen to them, that they were able to speak in other languages. Other tongues, it says here, but that means other languages, doesn't it? That the other people around about them that were from neighboring countries there saw that these could speak in their own language, and yet they were not normally able to do this. And what power and influence those who first received that Spirit there on the spot must have felt, a great elation that they felt in this manner. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galilean?" They knew that it wasn't their common tongue, their common language. "And now hear we every man after our own tongue wherein we are born." What a dynamic demonstration of the Holy Spirit being shown to those there, not only to them, but to the ones who received that Spirit. We might say, as common expression of our day, is awesome. Truly, that is awesome to think of that. Let us turn to John, the first chapter, and 29th verse. And this is referring to our Lord, of course, and at the time of baptism. And we have a vision in our mind of the setting there, and John and Jesus. It says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The 32nd verse, "And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." What a dynamic way of that Spirit being manifest to our Lord and to John. "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Spirit." John and Jesus were there at that particular point. We're both, I'm sure, impressed with this sight that God had caused to happen in a very visual way, for them to see this. A couple of more scriptures relating to this same time, Luke 4 and 1. "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." This is different than the other scripture that we're going to use in Luke 3, 21 and 22, in that it led him into the wilderness. And we know what happened there. The great deception, the temptation that fell upon our Lord, and how he was able to overcome this by repeating the words of God each time he was tempted. Luke 3, 21 and 22. "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened unto him. You received the Spirit without measure. All things were open unto him. And the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. How outstanding, how dramatic that the God of heaven, that voice would come to him in this matter and light upon him and say, This is my beloved Son, the Son of God, in whom I am well pleased. In our receiving of the Holy Spirit, it became a new walk in our lives. It take on new direction. Old things were passed away, and all things have become new. A new motivation within our very being. The concept of life was changed. And I'm sure that this great architect, master architect, our loving Heavenly Father, in a very special way, reached down and touched each of you, each of your lives, almost as our Lord in saying, Thou art my beloved Son. You have entered into the household of God, become adopted into the family of God. What power and influence this motivation has been within each of us to turn about our lives from a direction of earthly things, but to that of heavenly. In Romans, the 6th chapter, in the 4th verse, or one of the texts that we normally think of at a baptismal discourse. Romans 6:4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Doesn't mean water baptism, does it? A baptism into Christ. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Yes, this new direction within each of us as we felt that Holy Spirit within our hearts and our minds to direct us toward God and His Son, toward that Master Architect's divine plan of the ages, and that we too have been invited as a part of that to be instruments to bless all the families of the earth. When this power and influence came within our lives, it was an evidence. It became very evident to us, didn't it? It was a change in our lives. In this scripture in Romans 5:5, it says, Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by that Holy Spirit that was given to us. God gave us in a very personal way as He gave it to His Son, Christ Jesus. And so we have felt that power and influence of that Holy Spirit within our lives to motivate us day by day, to encourage us each day. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, in verses 9 through 14, pardon me, 9 through 13, But it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Yea, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the spirit things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. God hath turned around our thinking, so to speak. He has chosen you as an individual, as a prospective member of that mystical bride of Christ, to be a body member. He has given you, within each of us, that spirit, that motivation to turn around our lives. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. An entirely about face, that Spirit motivates you to do the will of God, to study, to show yourselves approved unto God, being a workman that beeth not ashamed, but can, by that Spirit, rightly divide that word of truth to know what God's meaning is of a scripture, what God's intentions are for you and for me. And thus we see that power, that mighty power of God, as it was back in the beginning when the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. All down through the age, God's Spirit has accomplished its work, not only in the beginning, but also throughout the ages of the ages. It will accomplish that purpose that he has intended. He formed the earth not in vain, but formed it to be inhabited. He formed man perfect in his own environment. He intended for man to live here in a very natural way, right here on God's green earth. He hasn't lost sight of that, even though we see the pollution of this earth, how man has almost destroyed it. And if it were not for God and his promise, they probably would. But God said that he created the earth not in vain, but formed it to be inhabited. He hasn't lost sight of that. He is still going to carry out that promise. There will be a perfect earth. There will be a perfect mankind in the image of God here in this environment, living peaceably and lovingly with each other, loving each other with a love welling up in every heart and meeting a kindred response in every other heart. How do we know these things if we had not received that Holy Spirit, you and I? We could not know that. Seeing the elements around us, seeing the situation that is in the earth today, we know that we would probably be of opinion too, that wondering what's going to happen to this situation. It is going to take a miracle, brethren. It's going to take the activating power of that Holy Spirit to cleanse this earth. And of course, the resurrection of the dead human family. in a very personal way these scriptures in Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse, have a very special application to you and me. Trying to find Romans and John, it doesn't work too well. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We realize that it is a personal relationship, as it was with our Lord. He went to the Heavenly Father. He felt His presence with Him. You and I share a certain relationship as brethren, don't we? Because we feel the Spirit amongst this congregation. This place here is a holy place and has been these past 6 days. We feel the power and influence of God's presence with us here. And as each one has spoken to us from this platform, we felt that power and influence within us as though God Himself were speaking to us. Whether it be a lesson to learn within ourselves, whatever. The chiefest part of our relationship with God as Son is to be as closely to the example that is set before us as we can be. No greater example do we have than that of our Lord Jesus. It has been stated from the platform about Paul. Paul was that noble example that endeavored to follow Jesus and stated that those things that you see in Him do, those noble things, those great things, those honest things, all of the things that are to be righteous before God, we see in our Lord Jesus perfectly. We cannot attain to that. We can only try. We can stumble, but we can get up again, and we keep climbing up as though we may be on our knees many, many times. But God would help us through that motivation of the Spirit to endeavor to continue to know God and to know what His will is concerning us and His divine plans and purposes. For sure, we know that there will be much suffering, many trials, and yet God has said that He would be with us, He would hold us in the palm of His hand, He would not let us go, He would not leave us, He would not forsake us. And what great promises those are to us. Some of the difficulties that we have in our lives, we could not share those without the motivation of the Holy Spirit and that power and that influence within our lives. It said that God had revealed those things, that very personal acquaintance of sonship, to us by His Holy Spirit. In Luke again, the 11th chapter, and the 13th verse, says, if we then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, or your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. If we sincerely, without reservation, have made a full consecration to God, and there are things that is troubling us that we need to know about, God will reveal those things to us if it needs be. That's the assurance that we must carry. That's the motivation that we must continue with as that first time when we felt God touch our hearts, when we gave ourselves in full consecration to Him. In Ephesians, the first chapter, in verses 10 through 14, we continue, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are heaven, in heaven, and which are in earth, even now. Pardon me, I said now, but it's Him, even in Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that He should be the praise, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, the new creation, in whom ye are also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. After we had believed, we were sealed with that activating power in our lives. Well, we weren't predestined as individuals, perhaps, but as a class, as a group, as body members, God's plan, as we said a few moments ago, will ultimately come to pass whether we fall into that and yield ourselves more fully to that Spirit and influence in our lives to make our calling and election sure. But surely God will come bring to pass those things that He has already purposed, regardless of our doing what we are to do. So let us not think of us being predestined individually, but let us think seriously what we can do to further that character development that is like Christ, that we may find ourselves there at the right hand of God. And His saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my kingdom. Certainly this is in our hearts, in our minds, that all of us want to do this. But this power and influence, if we had not that, we would not have the energy, would not have the zeal, if we didn't feel that relationship to God. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, in verses 20 through 22. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now He which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that ye spare you, I came not as yet into Corinth. This last verse was not necessary to be read, but gives the thought that God Himself sealed us with that Holy Spirit, that personal relationship as He had with our Lord. Through Him, we do all things through our Lord Jesus. All things are by the Father and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In John, the 16th chapter and the 13th verse, says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is coming, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you the things to come." God will show us all things through His Spirit. But for reading this scripture, we notice the word "He" here was used many times. And we realize that this is pointed to as the Trinity, as He, the third part of the Trinity, which you and I do not believe in. This is not the Trinity. This is the activating power of God. He was used there because there was no neuter gender to be translated. It should have been translated "it," as in our language. But in some languages, there is no neuter gender. It's only masculine and feminine, as we have learned. But according to an orderly arrangement of the divine plans and purposes, God hath predestined, according to the counsel of His own will, a plan of the ages He has purposed in Christ Jesus. And as you read that in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and the 11th verse in the Diaglot translation, it thrills us to know that God does have that plan in mind for you and I, and we fit into that plan as a member of that great body of Christ, and we see that it will be fulfilled in an orderly arrangement. This is why we know that God prepared that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, because in His own mind, through His wisdom, He knew that Adam would fail. There would be a necessity to prepare the salvation for His human family, that His plan would not be aborted and go down the drink, so to speak. But He still has in mind to the full completion of that plan and purpose. And in that plan and purpose, we look to the age to come, where it shall be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And this same Holy Spirit that began in the beginning of creation will go all through the age and into the great eternity to accomplish His purpose right here upon the earth. In Joel, the 2nd chapter and verse 28, you're all familiar with this scripture. It says, "And He shall come to pass afterwards, and it shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour out My Spirit upon all flesh." That Spirit, that same motivating power that we feel in our lives, that has accomplished its purpose within those 12 foundation stones, and from the church, the beginning of the church, down into the end of the church, will also accomplish that purpose in the world of mankind in His own due time. Aren't we thankful for Jesus, by whom we are able to come into God, that He now sits there at the right hand of God for us, that we have been able to know these things. We know that as we have gone out into the world and tried to tell someone about a plan, most people don't know that God has a plan, even though He's the master builder, the master architect. It would seem useless for one in His category not to have a plan. But we do know that He has this great divine plan of the ages for the whole human family. We know, and we can see about us, that this world out there is stimulated in a very different way. Some perhaps with alcohol and drugs and many other stimulants that they become intoxicated with. But you and I are to be intoxicated by the Spirit of God, that we might be filled with God's likeness. And let us continue to pray that we might be further filled with the Spirit of God. In conclusion, there was a saying recently, in recent years, I should have said, that anyone tennis, but now it seems to be everyone tennis. There's a little saying there that we'd like to borrow. Life is like a game of tennis. We might just transfer those words just a little bit and say, a Christian's life is like a game of tennis. You can't win without serving. And this is true. You cannot win a game of tennis without serving. We cannot win the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus without serving His truth. And may this Holy Spirit continue with us, to abide with us, that we may accomplish God's purpose that He has set forth for us. Amen.